Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. A life that honors God. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessity, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we ask tonight that you reveal to us something in this word that we need in our heart tonight. Lord, that we might be able to take it home, mull it over, and Lord, that it will change our direction in life. Lord, I just give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. The Bible simply says, Paul says, we are Christians and we shouldn't live like the world. And today more and more Christians are living like the world than ever before. He says here in our text, do not walk as others Gentiles walk. And that word Gentile was a word for unbelievers. He said, listen, if you want to live a life of righteousness towards God, don't you walk or don't you do the same thing the world does. You see? Don't live like the world. And there's reasons why in the passage of Scripture that we are to live right. He, one, says, reject rebellion. You know, a young man was on television not long ago. It was on Memorial Day, I believe I saw this. They were interviewing him on one of the channels, and he had been overseas, and he had fought in the war. And someone asked him, why did you sign up? And he said, well, my father was killed in action, and I wanted to honor his life with carrying on the tradition of being in the military. Well, I thought that was a very honorable thing to do, to honor his father by carrying on the tradition of being in the military. Well, we should honor God tonight with our lives to be an imitator of Christ, to follow after Christ, to honor God. We're simply, the Bible says here, we are to be followers of Christ, simply to let him live in us and through us in our life. You know, it's always good to see a father and son doing things together or going places, or father and daughters going place together. You know, one imitating the other. It's good to see a son wanting to follow after his father's footsteps. Well, if you do that, fathers, you better live for Jesus Christ. because they'll grow up and do the same thing. Allow Christ to live through you. Let His Spirit move in your life. In other words, don't live like the world, Paul says. Reject the rebellion. Don't go back to the way you used to be. Some of them were almost on the way back to go back and to live like the Gentiles. He says, don't do that. He says here, they had futility of their mind or vanity of their mind, emptiness in their thinking. Their thinking goes nowhere. They're living without a vision. They're living without a purpose in the vanity of mind. They living in defeat of their life. Don't live your life. To honor God, don't live your life in defeat. Don't live your life living as the Gentiles or the world does. Don't be deceived by the world. We are to reject the rebellion. You see, the world excludes God, doesn't it? The world doesn't want anything to do with God. Why? Because God is light. And it shows us when God comes into our life or we're around Christians in our life, they reflect that love and they show us how sinful we really are. And the people of the world, they don't like to point out that sinfulness. He says, one, their ignorance that is in them refers, they don't have the knowledge that you have. So reject their rebellion. They have a hardness of their heart. That's the condition that the world is in. And he says, don't follow after the world. Don't harden your heart. They're calloused in their thinking. They go back to the impurities in their life. They go back to greediness in their life. What about our age that we live in? More and more today, I find that our world, our society, lives in the darkness. They live in a greediness. It used to be different. It used to be when you was out in the society, people wanted to not do the things that were bad or evil. It seemed like today everybody wants to do the evil and shun the good. What was unthinkable a few years ago, man, it's on the front page today. Used to, when we grew up, two people living together, that was unheard of. Now it's a common thing. We've lost the shame, hadn't we? Jesus says that's the trend as the end of time comes near. And you know, everybody says, well, preacher, you're infringing on our rights. You see? You're saying things that hurt our feelings, and we live in a society today where that is not cool. Well, it wasn't cool in God's days either. That's written they didn't like Jesus Christ when he told them the truth. You see, speak the truth, it says here, but do it in love. I got a fly flying around me. I must be dead. I'm afraid I'm going to open my mouth in a minute and have lunch. You know, those who take a stand against the devil today are labeled as narrow in their thinking. Paul says we are called on as Christians to reject that kind of living in the world. And I just wonder tonight, if Christians would live for God the way they should live and reject the rebellion of society that they throw on us, what a difference we would make in our society. Not only that, look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We need to not only reject rebellion, we need to have a renewed righteousness in our life. What does Christ teach? Well, the Bible teaches truth. It is truth. You want to know anything about how to live, the truth of it is right here in God's Word. And he says the requirements of truth are, one, you've got to lay aside the old life. If you want to live in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when you're saved, what do? You put off the old life and put on a new life. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us to do. Take off the old life, put on the new life. You don't do the same you used to do. You don't go to the places that maybe you used to go. You don't follow the same rules anymore. You're to change your lifestyle. You're to take off or lay down the old things. And I see today that Christians are not laying down the old things. They're just taking up some new things in their life. And they're not the truth. They're wrong. I told someone not long ago, when you're saved, you don't want to have anything to do with the old sinful life anymore. The Holy Spirit of God is there. It doesn't mean that you won't do some things that are wrong. It just means you won't find pleasure in those things. Amen? The Holy Spirit's not going to let you have pleasure in those things. If you have Christ in you, you're going to be like Paul said, the things I don't want to do, sometimes I find myself doing. And the things I need to do, I don't do. He was fighting in a war on the inside. The Holy Spirit is your guide. And when the Holy Spirit tells you to change your direction about some things, you've got to change. Otherwise, you're going to be at war with yourself inside. You see, you have a new nature when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. He sealed us with His Spirit. His Spirit is there. It's a new nature. But you still have that old nature there. And that old nature, we have to push it down. We have to always constantly. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? By getting into the Word of God. Living what's right. And if we'll do that, you'll find yourself warring less and less and less because you're being regenerated, you know, in your life. You're putting on Christ. So Christ teaches the truth. We need to put aside the old life. And then it says, be renewed. The second requirement is to be renewed in your mind, man, that you may put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Man, you know what goes, the mind is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a terrible thing to lose your mind, really. We talk lightly about it, and we joke about it because we get older, we forget things, and we always hear people say, well, I'm losing my mind, I guess. Well, we are, but you know what? The Bible says we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The more you feed your mind the good things, the more you look at the good things in life, the more you sing praises to God. You know, I find myself just humming those wonderful tunes that we grew up with. You know, I'll be honest with you. When we grew up in a country, and naturally, we listen to country western music. Country western music's not kind of like it used to be. It's gone worse and worse. I've gotten away from it. You know, I'm not condemning you for listening to country and western music. I was over listening to a fellow the other night, and while we ate at Mom's over there, he was singing some country western music, and I asked him, I said, well, those are good old songs, you know. I called out a few, and he sang them and played them. Had a good voice. I thought he had a pretty good voice, country voice. But you know what? I asked him, I said, do you know any Christian songs? And he said, well, preacher, he said, I don't. He said, I'll fly away. And I said, well, you know, that's a good and all right. One day we're going to fly away. But you know what? That's what we need to feed our mind on. I used to listen to those kind of songs on the radio, but now I don't listen to radio at all. And I just hum. What a friend we have in Jesus. Man, I sometimes drive down the road and I sing the old rugged cross. You know, I just love the On a Hill Far Away. He keeps me singing. There is joy, joy, joy in our heart. You see, those things feed the spirit. Those things are truth. Those things get us in a spirit of worship. And when we get out of the car after driving a long ways and you go into a hospital, folks, and see people, they want to hear from God. They want to see a person that has been close to God that morning. They want to hear the good things about God. So the Bible says we ought to put on Christ and renew our spirit. And you do that by feeding your mind on the things of God, the Word of God. That's the reason I say, listen, as Christians, we ought to want to go to church. We ought to want to be in Bible study. You see? It's not a chore to go to Bible study. It's a thing that we want to do. And then the third requirement is put on the new self. This is who we are. This is simply being conformed in the image of Christ. The new self is living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Living in the holiness of Jesus Christ. Living in the truth of the Word of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like changing clothes, you see. We take off the old and put on a new life in Christ. That's a life that honors God. One that says, Lord, I'm going to reject the rebellion in my life. I'm going to put it aside. And I'm going to be filled with your spirit and be filled with your right living in Christ Jesus. And then we have in verse 25, therefore it talks about, do not grieve the Spirit, put aside lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. Folks, that's things we ought to do, shouldn't we? As a Christian, you ought to put aside lying. Man, if you can't believe what a person says, that's pretty sad. And it's a sad testimony when I hear people say, well, you can't believe a word that fellow says, and that fellow's supposed to be a Christian. It says, put away lying and let each one of you speak the words of God or truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of one another. Don't be angry, you see. He's talking about the right kind of living. Nor give place to the devil. Man, how many of us give place to the devil every week? Every time we say something that's not right, we give place to the devil. Every time we look at something that's not right, we give place to the devil. Every time we get angry, we give place to the devil. Kind of like the old, you know, I talked to an atheist one time. He didn't believe in God, and I did. And I just asked him, I said, where are you going to go when you die? He said, I don't know. I don't know where I kind of think I'll be born again as something else. Well, I don't really like that kind of thinking. I want to know where I'm going, and the Bible says we know as Christians where we're going. I know that I've got a home prepared for me. I know that I've got a heaven there. It's as real as the place I live in today. Man, you think, I like the joke, the old atheist died, you know, and he wanted to have a church funeral. I don't know why, but he wanted to have a church funeral, and the preacher got up there and said, well, so-and-so was an atheist. He's all dressed up. He ain't got any place to go but to a fire. You see, that's the way we are sometimes. Our lives, you know, don't live what we say we believe. Abandon, it says, deceit. But do it in love. There's a way that you can tell people they're wrong in a spirit of love, not in a spirit of judgment. Okay? Harsh words have broken up many a church. Harsh words have broken up many a relationship. Harsh words have broken up many a friend. Paul says, don't be angry with each other. If you've got something against a brother, tell him in a spirit of love. And I like the part it says here, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't ever go to sleep angry at one another. Husband, wife, friend, get those things right. You know, the longer we hold on to anger, what happens? The worse the situation gets, doesn't it? You start out with just a little thing, and you hold on to it, and you hold that grudge, and the first thing you know, we're angry all over, and it's blown up. We've made a mountain out of a molehill, so to speak. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't let the anger go down upon your wrath. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the edification of a brother. And then Paul says, what about our speech? He says, Christians are, man, we're to stop gossiping. Oh, man. We gossip, don't we? We gossip, we love it. That does not please God at all. Don't let that proceed out of your mouth, only but what is good for edifying Jesus Christ. Don't try to tear someone down. Always try to build one another up. You know, I don't like people. Well, I like them, but I hate to be around. Let's put it that way. I hate to be around people that are negative. How many of you like to be around somebody that's always negative? I don't see a whole lot of hands going up. You don't like that, do you? It's a miserable day. If you've got to be around somebody all day long, they complain all day long, they're negative about things, you know, it's a miserable day. Don't be negative against things. Always build someone up. Always lift the church up. Always lift God up. You see? God will bless you for that. That's what He wants you to do in your life. Take off the old man, put on the new man. Always be positive in your thinking. Always be in love with other people. What destroys relationships more than anything in families and everything is always being bitter, always being angry, always being uncomplimentary. You know, those things tear down a family. They tear down a church. They tear down an individual. Always lift them up. And Paul says, when you do, it won't grieve the Holy Spirit, but it will please the Holy Spirit. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit which lives within you. You see? Bitterness, lying, gossip, false living, righteous living, always grieves the Spirit of God within you. Don't do that. What kills most relationships in churches is simply words loosely spoken. I have found over the years, it doesn't take much to set people off. Just little words loosely spoken. No wonder Jesus says here, be kind to one another. Say what's right to one another. Do not condemn one another. And the bottom line in living how to honor God is simply be imitators. It says in verse 5, be imitators of God as dear children. Now let me tell you something. You start imitating Christ with your life. You start imitating Christ with the way you live. You start imitating Christ in your marriage. Fellas, I tell you one thing. Your relationship will grow in your family. Reflect Him in your life. When you look in the mirror, you ought to see the image of Christ living in your life. I guess the highest compliment for a Christian is to someone say, he lives like Jesus. He lives like God. You see, that's our calling as a Christian. Live like Christ. Be an imitator of Christ. Cooperate with His Spirit and allow Jesus Christ to live through you. That's a life that honors God tonight. Now think about it. Does your life honor God? Is there something tonight in your life that is displeasing to God? I don't know what it is, but God does. And this says what? You do. If there's something that displeases God in your life, would you come tonight? Simply come to the altar and say, Lord, this is displeasing. This is breaking down my relationship. This is tearing up my fellowship with you. And leave it at the altar. Say, God, I want forgiveness for that. I want to start living a life that honors God. And just reject those things that are wrong. Start living for God. It'll honor Him. And your life will be a whole lot more content. Your life will be a whole lot happier in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if we have someone here tonight, Lord, that never trusted you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray tonight they will honor you by just coming and giving their life to you. Lord, they do that simply by faith. The Bible says simply to call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And Lord, I pray tonight if they're here and they're lost, they will come. Lord, on Sunday night, we realize that most people here probably have trusted you as Lord and Savior, but their lives are not pleasing to you. They're living in the world. And Lord, if they're living in the world, you've said in your word you cannot bless them. And Lord, I pray tonight they'll realize that and they'll want to come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I've been unfaithful. Lord, I want you to forgive me. For the Bible says in 1 John, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I pray right then and there, they'll take off that old displeasing thing in their life and put on something new and start living for you, that their life might be really blessed as a Christian, that they might have a testimony as they go, that people will see them and know that they imitate Jesus Christ in their life. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.